Gene editing, part two.
Another gene-edited baby may be on the way.
Struggle in the sky.
If they had immediately followed the procedure, this may not have happened.
Historic Mississippi election.
I am the first female, so that's pretty special in itself.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A Chinese researcher who claimed this week to have given the world its first gene-edited babies suggests there's another similar pregnancy. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
He Junkui says a second woman may be carrying a baby whose genes have been edited for resistance to the virus that causes AIDS, but it's too soon to confirm the pregnancy. He's defended his use of the highly experimental technology, which is banned in the U.S. and elsewhere, but has seemed reluctant to give details.
Their genotype may quite affect their upbringing.
I don't know how to answer this question.
And though he insists all the couples in the trial gave consent, the consent form seems to be for testing an AIDS vaccine. Biochemist Dana Carroll among those with serious questions.
The technology is not mature enough.
Any genetic glitches from the gene editing will live on, not just in these babies, but in all their descendants. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
Well, new information is emerging about what happened in the cockpit of a Lion Air jet that crashed last month off Indonesia, killing all 189 on board. CBS's Chris Van Cleve has details.
According to the plane's flight data recorder, a new anti-stall system known as MCAS automatically pushed the plane's nose down more than two dozen times during the 11-minute flight before the pilots lost control.
They were clearly on edge. They didn't know what was going on.
Aeronautical engineer Peter Lemmy studied this newly released flight data.
Why the crew would sit there over 20 times and fight it, rather than disabling it, is a question, you know, we would all like to know.
Investigators believe a faulty sensor that had failed on three previous flights triggered MCAS. It was replaced, but failed again.
Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort remains at the center of the latest stories involving the Russia investigation. We're live this morning with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
As Manafort and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange both staunchly deny a report they repeatedly met, attention focuses this morning on an email sent by a conservative author to a Trump advisor suggesting advanced knowledge of WikiLeaks' plans to dump documents on the Democrats. The August 2016 email from Jerome Corsi to Roger Stone reads, quote, "Word is friend in embassy plans two more dumps. Impact, he says, planned to be very damaging." Assange has been holed up for years in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Roger Stone says that email to him proves nothing about anyone having advanced knowledge of WikiLeaks' plan. He asks, when did political gossip become a criminal activity? Jerome Corsi, who sent the email, says he's been pressured to cooperate with the special counsel. He says he expects to be indicted. All of this, as Rudy Giuliani says, Manafort's defense team has been talking with the president's lawyers, as Manafort has been talking with prosecutors. And the Mueller team now accuses Manafort of lying in those talks. All of these are complex but important developments this week. Steve?
No matter how it turned out, a Mississippi political race would have had a historic finish. CBS's Jim Krasula tells us the outcome increases the GOP edge in the Senate.
Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith made history in the Mississippi Senate runoff, becoming the first woman ever elected to Congress from the Magnolia State.
The reason we won is because Mississippians know me and they know my heart.
Losing Democrat Mike Espy.
When this many people show up, when this many people stand up, when this many people speak up, it is not a loss. It's a movement.
The divisive race was rocked by a video in which Hyde Smith said she'd be in the front row of a public hanging if a supporter asked her to attend.
The word that went out on Twitter yesterday was startling. Report of an active shooter at the Walter Reed Military Medical Center outside Washington. CBS's David Martin says it was what one official later called a genuine false alarm.
From the Pentagon to the FBI to local law enforcement to Maryland Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger, who was there, everyone thought it was the real thing.
There were people that were very concerned and upset and afraid. It's my understanding that Montgomery County Police came and didn't know about it. There were a lot of people that really had serious issues.
The Navy, which runs Walter Reed, later found out that one of the medical center's subordinate commands had been planning a drill and, as part of the planning, accidentally triggered the alert.
The money-losing U.S. Postal Service took a leap into the digital age last year, offering customers an email preview of what's in that day's mail. CBS's Chip Reed says that's raised theft concerns that are being investigated.
Informed delivery.
Wherever you are.
Yeah, I can see my mail!
An email arrives with a scan of any mail on its way that day. The post office asks people to verify their identity with questions like past cities and streets where they've lived.
The information could be on the dark web. This kind of information is also oftentimes available on social media.
That can allow scammers to sign up with your name and address, but their email.
It enables a fraudster to commit the fraud.
Chris Taraka, who had his identity stolen in a 2015 database breach, says a scammer used that hacked data to sign up for informed delivery in his name and swipe a credit card from his mail.
Someone was receiving images and was monitoring, I guess, the neighborhood, and when they saw that the credit card came in the mail, they then proceeded to follow the postal delivery person.
The Postal Service says households can opt out online from informed delivery and warns their inspectors are watching.
Well, President Trump tells the Washington Post he's not even a little bit happy with his hand-picked Fed Chairman Jay Powell. Mr. Trump has argued against raising interest rates. He says he's not being accommodated by the Fed and, quote, "My gut tells me more sometimes than anybody else's brain can ever tell me." Motor Trend's car of the year is the Hyundai Genesis G70. It's a new luxury compact described as smooth, quiet, fast, good-looking, and a great value. Well, Stevie Wonder's music has been a gift to us all. Now CBS's Matt Piper says he's unwrapping something that will help others.
It'll be called the Stevie Wonder Song Party. And the R&B legend says the benefit concert at the Staples Center in Los Angeles is to help firefighters and first responders who helped in the midst of the California wildfires. It'll be part of the 22nd annual House Full of Toys concert on December 9th. He says his foundation will also help raise money for those affected by the fires. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Kansas is recalling more than 700 license plates that have the random three-letter sequence J-A-P. A woman of Japanese heritage complained that's an offensive reference. Drivers can swap the plates with no charge. That's the World News Roundup for Wednesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.